This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
A 21-year-old air guardman might face 10 years in prison for this big intelligence leak. Can you believe it? Didn't you know it was going to be something like that? And Florida underwater. Not the whole state, but Fort Lauderdale this time. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney, once again, thanks for hanging with us. And there is so many things that we could talk about going on in this great country of ours. This was really very disconcerting, I guess is the word to use. Jack Teixeira, as I said, 21 years old, member of the U.S. Air National Guard. So he was picked up, and of course, it was televised all over the place because you had massive FBI agents. You had a SWAT team. You had a helicopter bearing down on his family's home in Massachusetts in Cape Cod. And there he was in gym shorts, a T-shirt, and his trainers. He was hanging out in the small little town about 50 miles, specifically 50 miles south of Boston. So they came, they swooped in, they got him. What do we know about him? This arrest is just a week after the leaks became pretty well known and put lots of people in D.C. on edge again about leaks and about damage that it might have caused. Certainly embarrassing for the U.S. because it revealed that we spy on allies specifically, and also supposedly showed Ukrainian military vulnerabilities. That's great. So the leak of the documents, which were posted on social media sites, was probably one of the most serious security breaches since more than 700,000 documents, videos, and cables were on the WikiLeaks website back in 2010. This is the deal on Teixeira. He was an airman first class at Otis Air National Guard Base in Massachusetts. He joined the National Guard in 2019. Specifically, you could just call him an IT specialist, or if he wanted to get a little fancier about his title, Cyber Transport Systems Journeyman. How does a journeyman that's 21 have access to all of this information? So the Justice Department didn't say what charges Teixeira would face, but likely, come on, criminal charges of willfully retaining and transmitting national defense information. There was more than Teixeira. There was a group that got together that were gamers. So these gamers, one of the things that they were connected to in being connected to him is this information. So it's about 6 to 8 guys that we're talking about. But are they going to get wrapped up into all of this too? When this first started to pop up, and I started to look at it, right? It popped up on the instant messaging site called Discord. And in a chat group on the site, Teixeira went by the handle OG and was admired by the group's young guys who loved military gear, gaming, guns, that kind of thing. And he was the guy. So he was the guy who leaked this stuff. And apparently he told some of them he was getting worried. Some of the documents labeled secret, top secret. The number of documents, supposedly over 100. A number of countries are questioning the veracity of some of the leaked documents, including England, which said there was a lot of stuff that was inaccurate in the information. There was information about allies, including Israel, South Korea, Turkey. But the U.S. is saying, our people are saying, most of the material is genuine. Some have been altered, apparently, to show inflated estimates for Ukrainian battlefield casualties in the war with Russia, as well as understated numbers for the Russian forces. So they were doctored, but apparently everything else is accurate. ridiculous, right? Ridiculous the amounts of leaks that we seem to be talking about, but especially in this case because of the severity of it. And now this kid, who seemed like any other 20, looked like my nephew, like any other kid in his gym shorts, just hanging there, playing on his computer. Whoops, they're swooping down to come and get me. How does he have that access? And that's what I want to know. How does he have that seemingly easy access to that? So that's the question I would ask. And then, of course, determining what is real and the couple of things that I mentioned that obviously weren't, that were inflated, and what does all that, boil down to? He'll get his day in court, and it's not going to be pretty. I bet his family was completely shocked by that, completely shocked. All right, Fort Lauderdale Airport, going to be open on Friday morning. The rainiest day in the city's history caused a 1 in 1,000 year rainfall event. Crazy, the flash floods, the rescues, 900 calls to 911 at one point. Help me, help me, because whatever's happening. Abandoned cars, shuttered schools, all of that. You're talking like 25 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. I said this in a previous hour, but just think for a second if you were to open your front door. Okay, boy, we're getting a lot of rain, You open your front door and you don't even realize how much rain. And then you see somebody swimming. they're swimming. They're not trying to be rescued. They're swimming, doing laps in your street, down your street. That's bad, right? That is really bad. And it was nasty. And the pictures from there, unbelievable. I don't know how some people were even out trying to cruise around in the stuff. It was really that wet and that damaging. I mean, probably not in the very beginning of it, but as they got deeper into it and more rain fell, you could see the cars. There's just no way. You were gone, or you're going to have to get out of the car. You're going to have to get out of there. And there were a lot of people that did do that, that went to shelters because they had to get out, and then there wasn't availability at some of the hotels, and some of those hotels had their own problems. We're talking about like Hollywood, Florida, that Fort Lauderdale area, which they're all very close to each other, parts of that Broward County. I mean, just flooding all over the city and through South Florida, roads impassable. You couldn't get through them. So lots of stuck and abandoned cars all over the roads. I saw somebody who said something interesting, and that's when you talk to a local, someone who's been there a long time, and he said, I've lived here my whole life. This is the most severe flooding that I have ever, ever, ever seen. So, of course, there was emergency services. There were all kinds of people trying to help, and people were getting help that they needed. But and through overnight hours, City Hall had to be closed, and it's going to be closed on Friday, too. And they're just telling people, just be as patient as you can be, because we're all going through this. So everybody's in the same boat, so to speak, right? It's just that bad. Some people were trying to save whatever valuables they could, and they were wading through high water to escape their neighborhood. It's when you get that heavy amount and it doesn't let up. That is when it's so awful. And because of the amount of water, the areas are going to need to drain naturally, even though crews are in neighborhoods cleaning and clearing storm drains to help the water recede from the neighborhoods. And there's vacuum trucks that are strategically placed throughout the city. It's still going to have to drain naturally, that's for sure. Herb Galloway coming up next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Vampires, and for good reason, just as growing up as a kid, there was so much conversation about vampires. So he's in our virtual green room here on Author's Corner. He joins us, Herb Galloway. His book is called Theater of the Vampires, and it's a really fascinating story. Herb, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Good to be here.
So let's talk about how this book came about. What made you write this book? What was the motivation behind the novel?
Well, I was at work. I used to work at the Fox Theater as a maintenance guy, and I was down in the sub-basement checking the air conditioning systems, and we had Phantom of the Opera playing on stage upstairs. And I just happened to think, wow, I bet I could come up with a story about a theater. And about that time, something moved underneath a tarp next to me, and the story jumped out and hit me right in the face, and I couldn't get it out of my head. It just kept going on and on and on, and so I just started writing it down, just trying to get it out of my head, and I'd write it, and then I'd go to sleep, and then that night I'd dream the next page. So I'd write it before I realized that I had written a book. So it was totally not about writing a book. It was for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, wow. And tell us about the story. So we're not going to give away the whole ending or any of that, but tell us about the story.
Well, the maintenance guy gets attacked by some bats in a theater, and he befriends one of them and kills the rest and absorbs their blood. Well, it's forbidden for humans to possess the blood of the ancients, and they're telepathic creatures, and the bats know what he's done, and they're coming for him. A whole army of monsters is like creating this plague across the land as they head straight for this theater to kill him, kill his friends, destroy the theater, and destroy the city. And he doesn't believe in vampires. He thinks he must have hit his head, or maybe he's had a stroke or something. He's just not sure. Maybe he's losing his mind. And this friend, this bat that he befriends, teaches him how to be a vampire and prepare for what's coming. And he can't really go see his boss because they'll probably call the people in the white shirts and haul him away. And so he's just pretending, you know, he's pretending to be human, hiding in plain sight, just doing what he normally does. And by the result of that, you know, people, when I had that job, people wanted to know what was going on behind the scenes in a theater and what's it like to work in a place like that. And this kind of gives you kind of a flavor of that, because they're doing what people do in that type of job as they get ready for it.
Yeah. You said it was medicinal, but it had to be somewhat fun to write this book. Was it fun to create the characters and flesh this story out?
Yeah, it was fun to do it. At the same time, it was like, how can I get this out of my head? Because it just wouldn't stop. And, you know, I would think about it at work. I'd think about it when I got off work. I'd think about it in my sleep. And it was like, it was really beginning to drive me mad. Even because the story seemed so real to me at that time, because unbeknownst to me is I actually had a tumor in my head when this was going on. So it actually seemed a lot more real than normal. But I did really savor it like a great meal.
Wow. And then you have a tumor in your head. You have the tumor removed. And I'm getting goosebumps, like a warning to you that something was going on. It's crazy.
Well, I actually was losing my mind and just didn't know it.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, when people pick up your book, and again, Theater of the Vampires, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope they take away from reading the novel?
Well, it's a unique twist on the genre. You know, this is a story about where the power lies, and the power lies with the bats. And, you know, usually the bats are, if anything, they're just one flying around and he's in the background. This is where the action is. And so, you know, humans aren't supposed to have it. And it's, you know, they're in, like anything in the theater, it's got comedy, it's got tragedy, it's got drama, it's thrilling. I mean, all the things that are wrapped up in theater is in it.
Wow. And so it almost begs for something else to happen after this. Will you write another story? Will you write another book?
Well, I did write another book, and but it wasn't a vampire book. Someone had read this vampire book, and actually, I was in somebody's backyard cleaning their swimming pool when the people that live there, their housekeeper's daughter, had read it. And she jumped out from the house and jumped right in front of me and demanded to be a character in my next book. And I wasn't even planning on writing anything. And I said, well, what do you want to be? She says, I want to be a fairy. And I said, okay, well, what do you want your name to be? And she says, I want it to be Angelica.
And at that moment,
the wizard and the fairy princess began to percolate in my mind, and I wrote that.
Nice.
And that's a story about a human that's accidentally transported back to Crystal Realm, which is the kingdom of the fairies, and it begins to absorb magical powers and becomes a wizard, and hooks up with the fairy princess, and they battle the evil witch queen and her army of leprechauns.
Yeah. And boy, that sounds fascinating too. There's, I think, no boundaries for your imagination, and I hope you continue to write. And again, you can find, all of Herb's stuff on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. Theater of the Vampires. It's perfect. Theater and the Vampires. And as you said, the big twist on it, and what I really like, is the power of the bats, because you are so correct. There's not much paid attention to as far as the bats are concerned. They're just kind of flying in the background, one or two, or you know the transition, but that's it.
Right. You know, and so it's strange that it came to me the way it did, but, you know, that I can't explain it. It just kind of happened that way. It's not like there was some bat in the room with me. That I know of.
Right, that you know of. I like that. Herb, you're a delight. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
All right, so interesting. It is true. We used to talk about, I guess it was Dark Shadows kept carrying over, even though that really wasn't our era, but they were would replay Dark Shadows. And Barnabas Collins, ooh, that was scary to me. I know that I checked the windows constantly. I mean, when I was super, super young. This is really all about the dimes. So this is just a crazy story. There are these thieves that might not have been counting on finding change, but they broke into a truck filled with $750,000 in dimes. So they made off with a chunk of the cargo and left some coins scattered in a Philadelphia parking lot. Apparently, they left with at least 100,000 dimes. It's not known how they carted off the mounds of dimes, but they did. It happened around 6 a.m. on Thursday. The tractor-trailer driver had picked up the dimes. You cannot make this up, people. From the Philadelphia Mint on Wednesday and was planning to transport them to Florida on Thursday. So, I mean, how many people were involved? Did they know what the truck contained? Because when the police came, they found hundreds of dimes that were just all over that parking lot. And they're still trying to determine how much money was stolen. And, of course, no arrests have been made yet at this point. Can you imagine having to pick up those dimes, figure that out? And then, of course, this is a mint deal. So they're out that money. And, wow, that is a strange thing. I mean, was it accidental? They were trying to just get the truck. Seems suspicious to me. There is definitely, I believe, more to this story. It'll be interesting to watch as it unfolds and they perhaps arrest someone, which, you know, there's always some slip-up, right? There's always going to be some sort of slip-up, and I bet you they catch who did it. And I don't know, was it really accidental? We were after this truck, we were after transportation, and just happened to get lucky with all the whole dimes, and then realized, woo, this is a lot of dimes, we gotta move these suckers, we gotta move them somehow. And, you know, it's not so easy with the change thing. What, do you pay someone to roll it up and then take it to the bank? Or they have those coin-based things where you dump all the change in and it counts it at some of the grocery stores? Imagine that call to the mint. Hey, are you missing a bunch of dimes that were supposed to go from the mint down to Florida? We found them all over a parking lot, and we got to count them. You want to send some people over to help? And other frivolity.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. A series of storms swept across the south. Northeast of Houston, the Southern Baptist of Texas Disaster Relief Arm said it sent volunteers to help in flood-stricken areas, particularly in Jasper County. Earlier, separate reports confirmed tornadoes caused damage in both Texas and Louisiana. O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76 after battling cancer. That's according to his family. Known for his involvement in the 1990s murder case of his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman, Simpson captured media attention concussion during a televised slow-speed chase through Los Angeles before his arrest. Despite being found not guilty of the murders, he later faced imprisonment in Nevada for robbery and kidnapping charges. Meta, Instagram's parent company, is introducing measures to safeguard teens from nude images. A new feature will identify photos containing nudity and automatically blur them when shared with users under 18. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Enjoy Jannie Goss. She has written a game-changing book, and we are happy to have her here on Author's Corner as part of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Her book is called Love, Laughter, and Longevity, The Art and Science of Well-Being. That really says it all. Jannie, this has been your life. Your life has been really about helping people of all sorts. So let's talk about, before we dive into the book, what led you down the path of writing the book in the first place?
Right. Well, I had a career as a physiotherapist, And I became very interested in stress because of various life events that occurred to me that were very stressful. So I set about learning as much as I could about stress, how it affected me, what the outcomes were, how it was triggered, and learning lots of ways of dealing with it. And along the way, I discovered the benefits of laughter. I actually did a seminar and a clown workshop with Dr. Patch Adams, who was the original clown doctor, and that really inspired me. And then in November 2000, I trained to do laughter yoga with Dr. Kataria, who created it in 1995 in India with his wife. And so laughter came into my life, and I found it very beneficial. And basically, I learned lots about stress, how to deal with it, and how wonderful laughter was. And I wanted to be healthy, so I looked into that as well as I got older. And so I had the opportunity to write a book because I thought it was all worth sharing with other people.
Yeah, and isn't it wonderful? I mean, you are sharing it with other people, and what a gift to this audience and beyond this audience too, as well. So you talk about stress, and stress leads to heart attacks. So many things happen when people are stressed. What are some things that we can do? And actually, what are some of the early signs, the warning signs that you are really having trouble with stress?
Well, they can be physical, emotional, interpersonal, and so on. You know, some people get a headache or a backache, or they can't sleep, or they lose their appetite, or they comfort eat. You know, and sometimes you get irritable and frustrated. You have difficulty getting on with other people, and that affects your relationships. So everyone responds in a different way. Of course, we all have the fight or flight response, which is there to protect us basically from tigers, which no longer inhabit our world in every day. But sometimes we are so stressed that our fight and flight response is switched on all the time. And that is very bad for our health because it causes high cortisol levels, and then your immune system doesn't work as well, and then you're at risk of illness and so on. So picking up your early warning signs of stress and knowing what stresses you and having a number of healthy strategies to cope with it so that it doesn't get worse, or even asking for help is really, really important. If you're so overwhelmed that you're not coping, you really need to ask for help because you don't want to spiral down. And because of the stigma of mental health, people are sometimes reluctant, but we have to get rid of that stigma. You know, anxiety and depression are normal parts of life when we have life events that stress us. So, you know, that's part of being human.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. It's part of being human, and it's so tough to deal with. And you suggest so many things in your book about this. And I want to talk about how you laid the book out, because it's not just, oh, let me sit back and read. You can pick it up at any point, but you also have action steps because you've got questions at the end of every chapter, right?
Yes, that's correct. So that people can reflect on the content of the chapter and ask themselves these questions, whether there's some action they could take or some goal they could set to improve their health and well-being.
Yeah. And we're going to circle back to laughter and your description of laughter. What is laughter to you? And you kind of gave us a little insight into that when you were talking about Patch Adams and how important it was and what you realized.
Laughter has, or particularly laughter yoga, has become a very important part of my life. A couple of years after I met Patch Adams and was very inspired by him, I had the good fortune to train to be a laughter yoga leader with Dr. Madan Kataria and his wife, who came here to Perth in Western Australia in November 2000. And that was a revelation, because I already knew the benefits of laughter from Patch, but laughter yoga is a way of inviting more laughter into your life and getting a healthy dose of laughter, which I believe is the best medicine.
Boy, so do I. And you see that. I mean, when people are able to laugh, they can let a lot of that stress go. And I think that's key, and just how it makes you feel. And you talk about, you look at the title, Love, Laughter, and Longevity. So what about love? Tell us about love.
Well, the foundations of well-being, according to Martin Seligman, who created positive psychology, is positive emotions and positive relationships. So the first one that comes to mind, of course, is love. And we all need to give and receive love in our lives. And someone actually called it vitamin L. So love is very important. Getting up in the morning, having someone or something to love, something to look forward to, this is all very important to your well-being. And gratitude also is the foundation of well-being. In fact, yesterday, the 21st of March, was International Day of Happiness, and their logo was Be Mindful, Grateful and Kind. So gratitude is really important and kindness is really important. If you're feeling a bit low, if you can do something kind for someone else, that will improve your well-being. You know, we've been through some difficult times in the last few years, but there's always something to be grateful for. And they suggest at the end of the day that you think of three things that went well and express your gratitude for them. And this helps to end your day on a positive note. So it might be as simple as enjoying your meal or having a chat with a friend on the phone or seeing some beautiful flowers. We need to be mindful of those little positive, joyful moments in our day, so that we are continually boosting the positive pathways in our brain, because the negative pathways tend to predominate. Your brain is always on the lookout for threat and danger, and it tends to focus on the negative. So we have to build up the positive pathways to improve our health and well-being, and then we've got something to be grateful for.
Absolutely. Boy, there's some big takeaways already that we're getting from you, Jenny. There's no question about that. So when people read the book, what do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope it will teach them to recognize how stress affects them, what causes their stress, how they react to it, and learn a whole lot of different strategies that they can apply. I mean, the simplest strategy to calm yourself if you're feeling a bit agitated is just to take some slow, deep breaths through your nose and just focus on the air passing in and out through your nostrils and notice if the temperature is different between breathing in and breathing out. And that calms your nervous system, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's sort of first aid.
Yeah.
But actually, laughter is fantastic because it lowers your cortisol levels. Cortisol is a stress hormone, right? And when you laugh, you reduce your cortisol levels, which means your immune system can work better. So if you're unwell, laughter can help with the healing process because it stimulates your immune system. And so that is one of the best reasons to invite more laughter into your life. It strengthens the immune system and it also provides a dose of what we call happy hormones. Dopamine, the pleasure hormone, oxytocin, the cuddle hormone, serotonin, your mood hormone, and endorphins, which improve your mood and can relieve pain. So we've got these wonderful chemicals in our brain which we can stimulate just by laughing, and even putting a smile on your face helps as well. And the thing is, if you can smile at someone, they tend to smile back because we have mirror neurons. So if I'm smiling at you, you tend to smile back, and it's almost an automatic response. And the same with laughter. That's one of the reasons why laughter is contagious, because our brains cause us to mimic what's happening in front of us, you know, in someone else's facial expression or actions.
Yeah, and which is wonderful. I mean, all of this is fascinating, and it's all in your book, Love, Laughter, and Longevity, The Art and Science of Well-Being. And you have some great quotes, too. And I asked you a tough question if you had a favorite quote, and I think you actually have a couple. Tell us, give us a sneak peek on some of the quotes in your book.
Oh, well, the first one I'll share is from Mark Twain, and it actually says, "Beware of health books, you might die of a misprint." And there's a lovely one from Maya Angelou who said, "People won't remember what you said, they won't remember what you did, but they will remember how you made them feel."
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com. What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Australia this time around in Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, for a conversation with a really fascinating man. Actually, in our talk off the air, Richard Marin joins us. His book, McAllister's Way, it's the McAllister's Line series, and it's really interesting when you look at the characters, actually, that he's fleshed out in this book, and you look at his background, having been part of the Royal Australian Air Force, Vietnam, think ex-military chopper and heavy transport pilot, and boy, can you imagine the adventures. So, Richard, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
What prompted you to write this? What was the motivation behind McAllister's Way?
I've always liked writing. Ever since I was a kid, I was good at writing essays at school, so I just wanted to write. And when I finished my flying career, I knew that I had to do something, because when I first joined the airlines after I left the Air Force, all the old pilots were in this. They retired at 60. And all they did was fly and play golf, and they were all dead at 63. So I took note of that and said, I really don't want to retire. I want to go on and do something else. And luckily, I was up here on the Sunshine Coast. I went to university as a maturing student, and I started studying English studies, graphic design, and visual arts. And from then on, I just went on to writing books. From what I learned there, my writing style improved enormously, and the stories just came. They just came.
Yeah, boy. And this one really came. So tell us about McAllister's Way. What can we expect in reading this novel?
you can expect lots of adventure. You can expect it moves along. It's about it, without making a spoiler, I can tell you it's about a young kid. He's 15 years old, and for a lot of reasons, he finds himself going to New Guinea. He lived in Queensland, so not far from where I live now, and he goes to New Guinea through a lot of adventures and misadventures, and he's looking for his dad, who's been lost on the Kokoda Trail during the fighting in New Guinea during the 1940s. And it's all about the characters he meets. It has bad guys and good guys and lots of historical little cameos that give the book some authenticity. So if you were to Google lots of things that happened in the book, you'll say, oh, look, there's a whole page on that. And so the main thing is lots of adventure, a little bit of romance, and some, I hope, characters you're going to come and love, even the ones that the bad guys you're going to come and love to hate.
Yeah, and you know, I think that there is something about that because you really are great at writing the characters. And I assume, because like I said in the beginning, this is drawn so much from your own adventures. Did this just kind of pour out of you when you were thinking about things that happened while you were flying?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are some scenes in the book where the plane flies through the eye of a hurricane. This is something I've actually done, and I don't recommend it. There's a scene where they find a big bomb dump left over from World War II. And that was something that happened to me when I was working up in New Guinea, and we had to send the bomb disposal team up to defuse all these bombs. And they were in an airport that was just a little airstrip, and they're only about 20, 30 meters away from the airstrip, but the grass is so high, and the local people knew they were there, but they didn't ever think to tell anybody. Anyway, somebody found out, and we went and defused, and the bomb disposal team blew them up one at a time.
Wow. Wow, that just gives me chills thinking about it. And you can't just drop the eye of the hurricane on us and not tell us that story, Richard. Tell us about the hurricane, and what was that like?
Well, fly through the eye wasn't so bad. It's what you see. It's a nice big calm area, and we were flying from Chang, which is Singapore, down to Darwin. And the hurricane started brewing up. It started as a low. And when we got to Darwin, we had to land there. And landing in a hurricane is interesting because the wind is blowing everywhere. The weather is so bad. There's no visibility. And had we been anywhere else but Darwin, which has got a huge, huge long strip, I don't know whether we'd have got in. And the turbulence, whoa, you have to be strapped in, I tell you.
Wow, the turbulence. I'm just thinking, I can't think of anything that would be similar to anything I've experienced. We talk about how awful hurricanes are, and you run from the water, and there you are in that situation. Did you ever think some of the adventures you had when you were learning to be a pilot, did you think it would be like it was?
Well, no, it didn't, because I'll tell you how I became a pilot, and it was all by sheer accident. When I was at school, in my last year of school, it was a pal of mine, and he always wanted to be a pilot. And so one day he said he was going down, he had an appointment with a recruiting officer, and this was in Perth and in West Australia. And so it was the school holidays, so I said I'd come along and keep him company and maybe we'd go to have a movie, see a movie later on. And we got there, and he went in to do the interviews and the aptitude tests, and there was a recruiting sergeant, and he was eyeing me off a bit, and he asked me a lot of questions about my education, and I was doing quite well at school, not spectacularly, but well enough. And so the upshot was that he said, do you want to apply for the Air Force? And I had no idea what I was going to do after school, so I applied, and they took me, and they knocked this other guy back, which seems a bit of a shame, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? And then you, again, now we turn to your writing and some of the stories that you've talked about here. When you went through the stories in your mind, was it tough to decide what to leave out, what to maybe put in a future book?
Oh, no, not at all. No. It was very, very easy because writing historical books, I love writing historical novels because they don't change. They're about things that happened in the past. So if you write a book about the present day, and technology overtakes it in the future, it doesn't. Say you're writing a science fiction book, and you wrote it 50 years ago, and you wrote it about 2000, and the technology overtook it. And you look at it and say, oh well, it didn't actually work out that way. But with history, it's great because everything is there. And one thing I wasn't very good at school was research, but when I went to uni, I became absolutely fine at it. I loved it. And you go into these historical websites and pages, and the information just pours out. And quite often, all you have to do is take your characters and plonk them into the middle of the events, and your story just gets told for you. One of the books I wrote, which was a prequel called McAllister and the Great War, all the sequences there were actual events in World War One, spread over all the theatres. I go to Northern Ireland, I go to the Western Front, I go to the Syrian desert, and everywhere I found stories just waiting to be told. So all I did was put my characters in there, and the story just wrote itself.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about these historical novels. You did have to do the research, though. I mean, so you're nailing the specific things and then telling the stories, as you said, that needed to be told. So that had to be fascinating to uncover some of it.
Research is essential because there will always be somebody out there that will take you to task if you get it wrong. And being Mr. Smarty Pants myself, I've read a few books and I go, that's not quite right. So what I've done is made sure and try really to ensure that no one's going to catch me out on the details.
I like that. And we're speaking with Richard Marmon again, McAllister's Way. That's the name of the book. And he's mentioned there, of course, there's a prequel as well. We're talking about his life and pouring it into the book and what the book's about. What do you hope people walk away with when they read your novels?
I want them to walk away and say, gosh, that was a jolly good read. I really enjoyed that. I'm going to tell all my pals about it.
And, of course, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. we're looking at, with Great Wireless Media, of doing some audiobooks later on this year, and we're really hoping that they will find a market, because I believe audiobooks are big business these days. And up till now, my books have only been available as paperbacks or ebooks.
I like it. And audiobooks also, too, just like this interview, bring the story to life. In the end, for you, it sounds like it's just been a pleasure to write. It's just been a joy. Is that accurate?
I have really loved it. I've really loved bringing the stories out. And the nicest thing is? It's people you don't know who've read your stories and said, oh, I really enjoyed that. I'm going to read your next one. And I think that's where you get your... another great comment I had from somebody that I didn't know was, you don't write like anybody else. And I thought that was probably the best compliment you could pay an author.
I absolutely agree, and it's a perfect place to end this. Richard Marmon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Georgia, oh my Georgia,
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.